Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Scott McKay, political analyst for the Publix Radio. Hi there, Scott.
Good morning, everybody.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning to you.
Good morning, all.
And we're pleased to welcome as our guest State Representative David Place, a Republican from Boroughville. Thank you for joining us.
Well, good morning to everybody out there, and thanks for having me.
David Place, you're a freshman in the Rhode Island House of Representatives. You won your seat last year on your second run for the House. That was after serving 8 years on the Boroughville Town Council. This is your first appearance with us, so why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and why you decided to run for the General Assembly?
Well, I grew up in Swansea, Massachusetts. I did 10 years in the military. After getting out of the military in 2006, I moved back to Rhode Island with my fiance, now and wife. We started off in Cranston, moved to North Smithfield, and wound up settling in Boroughville in January of 2009, and just fell in love with the community. Being in the military, going back to your question about getting involved in politics, because that's the more direct answer as far as the General Assembly, when I was in Iraq, I was there for the first election cycle. One of the most endearing things to me was seeing people moving in and out of election sites with my tank out front and literally using my tank as cover to get out of the elections.
That's pretty compelling when something like only 8% of Coventry voters recently took place in a municipal election there. But let's move on and talk about a related issue. Boroughville is among a handful of Rhode Island towns that have declared themselves to be Second Amendment sanctuaries. Representative Place, are these kinds of declarations necessary in your view?
Necessary? Not necessary, but I think they're warranted. I think every elected official has the ability to interpret the Constitution as they've sworn to uphold and protect and to make public statements on those. And I believe that's what's going on with the town councils out in the western part of the state. They're standing up and saying that we're seeing potential infringements on our constitutional rights from Providence. And we're just letting you guys know down there in Providence that we're paying attention and we don't like what you're doing.
Before we go to Scott, critics on a different side of the issue say that guns are often used in suicides and that if these sanctuaries are declared for Second Amendments, it goes against efforts to reduce gun-related suicides. How would you respond?
If a person is troubled enough to want to end their life, they're going to use the most available way possible. It's just the way that it is. It's unfortunate, but if it's not a gun that's available, they'll go to the next available source. The tool is not the problem. The problem is the person has found themselves in a dark place, and they just need help. And without that help, that's the only way you're going to be able to stop the problem with suicide.
Scott, what do you make of this issue of how some Rhode Island communities are declaring themselves to be Second Amendment sanctuaries?
I think Representative Place touched upon this a little bit. I think this is an urban-rural divide. I think it's something that communities and people south of the Appanock-Dixon line and west of the Scituate divide, frankly, care about the most. It's kind of ridiculous, frankly, because we all know that this is just a sentiment. It's a culture issue. Nobody is taking anyone's guns away from a responsible owner in this state or any other state. Bill Clinton didn't take anybody's guns. Barack Obama didn't take anybody's guns.
And we should note that the legislative leadership here in Rhode Island has been supportive of gun rights.
Yes, I think that's true. And I also just wonder for the representative, why do people have this fear?
You're seeing the anti-Second Amendment folks gaining more and more power up at the State House. You're seeing it with our statewide officials, whether it be the governor, the attorney general, even the treasurer's weighed in on the issue at different points in time. You're seeing these statewide elected officials stepping up and coming out publicly saying that they do want to take certain classes of weapons away from, law-abiding citizens.
How about that point, Maureen? There is a proposal backed by more liberal members of the legislature. They want to take semi-automatic weapons off the market. And supporters of gun rights say that the only people who would be affected by this are law-abiding gun owners.
Look, I really think that we've touched on the idea of the symbolism behind this. And this is really more than about guns. It's about communities in the western part of the state who feel left out. They feel abandoned. They feel that money, power, and influence comes from Providence and is delivered in other parts of the state. Many of them, although they're Democrats and Republicans, are Trump voters. That resonates, that idea that they're being left behind or they're not being paid attention to. They're different from Trump voters because they're educated, they're middle class, and they pay their taxes. But I think the nub of the issue is they feel ignored and left out, and they want to be recognized.
It's the same dynamic you're seeing nationwide. You know, the more rural communities are tending to be more conservative in nature, the more the coasts, in exactly the same way, the coasts and the urban areas have moved more to the left in the political spectrum. And you're right. The folks feel isolated. They feel alienated. And to a certain degree, they almost feel as if they're being used to provide the labor for all of the East Side, for Barrington. And they go out and they do their work all the time. They come into these communities all the time and work, and they feel like they're being disrespected by the folks down in Providence.
Well, let's switch gears and talk about a different issue. There was recently a floor vote in the Rodon House on a bill to allow Providence to borrow millions of dollars to finance school construction. The bill passed, but our guest, Representative David Place, voted against this measure. Tell us why.
Well, it comes down to one thing. The essence of the bill was to authorize the city of Providence to go further into debt. And while it's normally a mundane thing, I think Representative Newberry got up on the floor and said at some point in time, either we just got to take this seriously or we got to stop doing it because we pass every single one. So why are we doing it? And that kind of made me think. I ran on a platform that said that I would not allow the people of Burrville and Gloucester to endorse bailing out the city of Providence because they have been so irresponsible with their finances. And if you look at a community like Burrville, we're one of the top three financially stable towns in this state because we've taken the hard choices, we've negotiated fair contracts with our unions, and we haven't overextended our finances. And until Providence starts to take actions to a degree in which they show me as a representative from Burrville that they're taking it seriously, because I don't believe they are. They're not taking their financial distress seriously. I can't endorse allowing them to go further into debt.
How about that point, Maureen? Does it really make sense for Providence to be able to borrow more money when it only has about a quarter of the money needed to pay its long-term pension obligations?
I agree with the representative. Let's be frank. Providence is going bankrupt. It's not going to go bankrupt now. It's not going to be on these politicians' watch, but it's ultimately where we're going. So in a sense, I hate to use this trite cliche, we're rearranging chairs on the Titanic. And what we're doing is we're doing short-term efforts to help education. Where I disagree is there's no reason to, at this point, the situation is so bad, we should at least support the schools and not let a generation of children be in crummy circumstances in their schools. It's not going to make any difference because the city is going to ultimately go under.
And my vote wasn't against repairing the schools. My vote
was
against the
concept. But that was what the
money was for. But, and again, my vote wasn't going to have an impact on that. The point was to make a statement. And obviously I'm here to make that statement. The statement was made and the conversation's being had because no one's been talking about this. I can't endorse allowing the taxpayers of Burrville to one day be in the position to have to pay this debt off themselves.
We're short on time here, so the last word on the subject of Scott.
Well, there's some irony here when somebody from the rural parts of the state just talking about how local control is so important. And here he is trying to tell Providence how to run their thing. He doesn't want Providence telling him how to run Burrville. Without Providence, there is no money for Burrville. This is where all the business gets done in the state. This is where the taxes get collected, the hotel taxes, the income taxes, the sales taxes. Providence is what pays for the schools in Burrville. That's where the money comes from.
I don't disagree that's where the money comes from, but they have to get their act together. Until they fix it, the state will not be fixed until Providence is fixed. And the whole point of my vote was to start this conversation.
All right, that's all the time we have. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And Burrville Republican State Representative David Place, thank you.
And thank you. Don't forget about Gloucester.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. As usual, you can find a lot more on our website at thepublicsradio.org. I'm Ian Donis.